Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
I'll take that as a yes.
Good. So my name is Tom Savell. I am the director of the CDC Informatics R&D unit in the Public Health Informatics and Technology Program Office. It's a pleasure to be here today and to have some great panelists to give you a flavor of the value of applied informatics research. So we're lucky enough that we have a new entity that can focus on new technologies and new methodologies for impacting public health practice, and we have some speakers today to give you their perspective on how that helped and how that made a difference. And you'll see that the impact varies. You can't just say this is how this innovation helped us. You'll see in some cases it's about shortening the length of time to do things, and in some cases it is cost savings. So I think you'll get an interesting perspective on what we're seeing as the potential value of essentially a small technology research incubator. With that, let me do some brief introductions and then I'll turn it over to our first speaker. How should I put this? You're going to get quite varied perspectives. One of the first perspectives you're going to get is from the laboratory perspective. And in laboratory, there's two different words. One is we actually have a technology lab, but specifically we're talking about clinical laboratory information systems and technologies and how we were trying to help them using our technology lab. And so the first speaker is going to be Dr. Julie Taylor. Now, Julie completed her training in microbiology with a bachelor's in science from the University of Alabama and a master's and a PhD from Auburn University and postdoctoral training at Emory University School of Medicine. She has a wide variety of research experience in virology, immunology, parasitology, mycology, genetics, and oncology. And her accomplishments include patents and FDA or USDA licensed medical devices and vaccines, diagnostics, journal publications, international healthcare standards, and training programs. So Julie is currently the project lead for the Clinical Laboratory Integration into Healthcare Collaboration from the Division of Laboratory Science and Standards at CDC. She coordinates programs to improve laboratory quality by enhancing the services and capabilities of laboratories worldwide. So Julie's going to give her perspective, and in this process we may actually do a little bit of technology magic and show you some demonstrations of some of the work we've been doing. And with that, we'll move on to the next presenter. But first, let me turn it over to Dr. Taylor.
Well, great, Tom. Thank you for the introduction. And hopefully, everybody can hear me. Hopefully, it's not too loud. Is it too loud? So, okay. Well, let me know if I'm too loud or too not loud. Let me know. But since it's a small group, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay down here so we can have a little bit of interaction. But let me get the pointer and the move the changer here. But first of all, I would like to thank the organizers of the conference for allowing me to have time on this panel to share with you the work we've been doing in the R&D with the R&D Informatics Lab and how excited we are about that partnership. As Tom mentioned, I work in the Division of Laboratory Science and Standards at CDC. And the reason we focus on laboratory science is because nearly everybody has had a laboratory test. We have them when we're in the young years, when we're infants, all the way through to the elder years. And I guarantee you, probably everybody in this room has had at least one laboratory test. So that is why we focus in the area of laboratory science in our division. Now, my first job in a laboratory was working in a physician's office lab where we had three physicians. And those physicians rotated through the office. So the days that Dr. Kinzer was in the office were the days that I was really worried that I would be worn out by the end of the day. Because Dr. Kinzer, he was an excellent physician, family physician. People would travel all over to come see Dr. Kinzer to have them be treated by Dr. Kinzer. He's a wonderful physician, but he never met a laboratory test that he didn't like. So, for example, when little Johnny came in with obviously a broken leg, Dr. Kinzer would order complete blood count, urinalysis. When Ms. Smith came in, Dr. Kinzer would order complete blood count year analysis. So all day we were doing all these tests for people coming into the office. Now, the reason Dr. Kinzer was ordering those tests is that he understood the test, he knew what the results meant, and he knew how to utilize potentially a result that could help his patient even though they didn't know they were having a problem. He was very comfortable with those tests. Well, if you look at the possibilities of what tests physicians had to understand back in the 70s, we only had about 50 tests. So it was easy for them to keep up with what the test would, when you should order them, and what the results meant. It wasn't very complicated. But if you look at today, there are over 5,000 laboratory tests available for clinicians to try and keep up with. So, for example, Dr. Kinzer would be just overwhelmed with the number of tests that he had to pick from. So he was very comfortable with that small group of tests. As a matter of fact, we've conducted focus groups with physicians, and they found that they are comfortable with about 20 tests. That's something within their realm of being comfortable. But outside that, they are not very comfortable. I was speaking with a physician the other day, and he told me that it takes at least 40 hours a week for them to keep up with the current literature in their field. So that doesn't even include the amount of literature that it takes to keep up in laboratory medicine. So clinicians are challenged with keeping up with laboratory testing, and that is what we are going to talk about today. The project that I'm going to share with you is called the Clinical Laboratory Integration into Healthcare Collaborative, and we fondly call it CLIC. So if you hear me say CLIC, that's what we're referring to. Within this particular project, what we're trying to do is link the clinician to the laboratory professional with all the end goal of helping the patient. That's the whole end goal of our project. Now, the way we do that is we're trying to identify or develop models, systems, and tools that will help with laboratory test selection and result interpretation. So that is our project. Now, how do we work? I have a small team in my division that helps me, and they work part-time, and we're very pleased that they help us. But the way we work is we work and facilitate an external work group, and that's what this CLIC work group is, external, and they're all volunteers. So everyone listed here is very busy. They have their own job, but they help us to try and improve laboratory medicine. And what we have is we have two co-leads. One is Dr. John Hickner, who is a practicing clinician from the Cleveland Clinic, and the other is a clinical pathologist from Vanderbilt, Dr. Michael Lapisotta. So they help us by sharing with us their perspective of either the clinician side or the laboratory side. And then we have other work group members who are laboratory specialists or clinicians, some who are specializing in pathology. So that is the makeup of our current work group. Each of those work group members, not only are they helping us with the general goals, but they each have their own project that they are leading. And so with that, I'm going to share with you just one project because it's related to having Dr. Seville and his team help us. This project is led by Dr. Michael Lapisotta and Dr. Marissa Marquis, who Marissa is a pathologist at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And what their goal is to do is to help us demonstrate the complexity of selecting the appropriate laboratory tests and understand their most effective testing strategies. So what they have done is they have helped us by developing algorithms. And that algorithms are to evaluate patients with potential bleeding or potential clotting disorder, all identified through an abnormal test result. They thought this was going to be easy. They thought they would just come up with one simple algorithm to help with this type of patient. But what they found is the algorithm varied based on age. We found that there was a difference in test results in children who were less than or equal 6 months versus those that the rest of us that are older, and also with symptoms and the timing of the abnormal result. So all of these factors played into developing these algorithms. This particular slide shows you a simple algorithm for the prolonged partial thromboplastin time, PTT, and that is the abnormal test result on which we are focused at this time. And this is showing you a simple algorithm that Dr. Lapisotta developed, but it doesn't include all those variables I just shared with you. So if you look at this simple algorithm and see it is just a couple of branches and envision this branching times 5, that's where we are currently with developing this algorithm. It's a lot more complicated, but I wanted to share it with you, the simple one, to give you a visual, because I could not put the whole algorithm on the slide because it was too complicated. So that is what we are working from, is taking this algorithm. And you think about what a clinician does all day. If you have an algorithm that is 5 times more complicated than this, they have a patient that comes in, how are they going to share and learn from that algorithm? If it's like 5 pages, are they going to pull these pages out on their desk and look at them? Are they going to pull up a big screen computer while the patient's in there and try to work through the algorithm? So it is challenging to utilize a complicated set of algorithms. So that is why we needed some health IT expertise here. This is a picture from our work group meeting. We had every year we have an in-person meeting with the work group, and I wanted to point out Dr. Lapisotta, who is helping us with the algorithm project, and Dr. Marissa Marquis is also helping us with this project. And at the end of this particular work group meeting, I challenged the group. I said, what we'd like to do is have you identify with all the projects that you're working on. We're going to have a brainstorming session. You tell us what it would be listed for you to feel that you're successful. What do you need a year from now or 3 years from now to make you feel that your project is successful? Well, what Dr. Marissa Marquis said was, I think we'd be successful if we had an application for smartphones that would show our coagulation algorithms and make it simple for the doctor to use the algorithms. Now, I'm from CDC, and the first thing I thought of is, my goodness, we do conduct science and try and help with health policy, and we publish MMWRs and scientific reviews and guidelines, but I do not see us being a Wall Street IT savvy firm trying to publish and produce applications. And so I was very concerned about putting it on the list. But it's a brainstorming session. So what I said was, Marissa, that's a great idea. I'll put it on the list. Well, when we got back to CDC and we had a team meeting, we talked about what is it that we could do and how we could prioritize this list, because we had quite a few things that we thought we needed to do. And I was very pleased. I have a couple of people on the team who have been following health IT, and they are also very savvy in keeping up with electronic medical records, and so they try and help me since I am kind of challenged with this. And unfortunately, I am a little challenged, and I'm very intimidated speaking at this conference because I am not an IT specialist. But that just lets you know why I needed Dr. Seville and his team, is that we are not IT specialists. But anyway, we had this meeting, and when I tell you how challenged I am, about 4 years ago, my husband had a palm that he kept all of his contact information and all the contacts for like his friends and family and all the information from phone numbers and addresses. And unfortunately, I don't know why, but when I would use it, it would jam. And then he would have to shut it down and then reset it. And after that happened a couple of times, he forbid me to touch it. And this was just a poem. And I be honest, I don't know what I did. I just used it normally. But I just want to share you, I am a little IT challenged and I'm trying to get over it. But the good news is I did have a team with people that do know what's going on with the IT world. So in our meeting, we discussed how we could move this project forward. And they said, Julie, there are people out there to help us. And they are probably at CDC. And they said they would go and research and see who they could work with at CDC or elsewhere. And in the meantime, after we had that first meeting, I got an email from the Office of the Director at CDC. And the email was putting out a call for proposals for an Innovation Fund award, and CDC was going to fund some projects for $100,000 for 1 year. And anybody in CDC could write a proposal. Well, we talked about an app for the algorithms. And then my team came back and they said they had spoken with a lot of people, and several people said, Dr. Tom Seville is the one you want to work with. He's a great guy and he has the expertise. But then they all said, oh, he's so busy. He may not be able to help you, don't be disappointed, but he could probably put you in the right direction. So we contacted Dr. Seville, and the good news is the stars were all aligning, and we were able to talk about this particular proposal. So we submitted the proposal, and we were very thrilled we got funding from CDC to do our proposal, which is smartphone, smart pad applications for improved laboratory testing services and patient care. So now we have funding and the stars are all aligning. So our team is made up of Dr. Seville and I are the co-leads, and we have Mary Beth, Ann, and Pam, who are on my team, and Greg is also on the team. And I know Brian here also is also very, very instrumental in helping us. So we thank Brian also for helping us with this particular project. I'm going to go through some of the screenshots, and then Dr. Seville said he can help me get the actual app to show you a little bit. But just to share with you just in the screenshots, what we have is the nice app where the buttons are very large. So hopefully, I have not had any trouble. I've tried to jam it, and I have not had any trouble with it. So hopefully that it's other people. If I can use it, hopefully most people can. So it comes in with a question, and then you get a choice. So it's very simple. It's not a complicated big series of screens, but it's like one question, and then you get one choice. And this is an example of what is at the end of the algorithm. When you go through all the steps, you can get a recommendation and it tells you that it's done. So that shows you what the application looks like. Now, this part of the application, I was thrilled that they developed. This is the help. You can push a question mark and it will have the help for this is at the bottom of each of the pages. You can either go back, forward, go all the way to the last step, or start over, and then this is the evaluation review. Because you're talking about going through a very complicated set of steps. And you may think, well, what did I answer in the one question several up? That will give you the list of all your questions. So, for example, it will tell you all the questions and your answers for those questions, and it gives you an opportunity to change them. So if you say, oh my goodness, maybe that is not a problem, we just found out something different than that, we can change it. But what I also like about this application is it alerts you. Like I mentioned, I've tried to have this be a problem because I may punch the wrong thing, but this would tell you that maybe you don't want to change it, or maybe you did intend to really change it. So it gives you a chance to make that distinction. So where are we today? We have developed the algorithm, and that is through our pathologists have helped us with that. And we designed the PTT application, which now I have to admit that Dr. Seville and his team have done that, not our team, but we're working together. We're responsible for the algorithm, and they are handling the design of the application. And I have to tell you, we were thrilled that when we gave them the first draft of the algorithm, within 3 weeks, they had it on my iPhone. Within 3 weeks, I had it, I could use it, I can play with it. They are really fast, which surprised me since, like I said, I'm a little challenged. So it was nice to be able to see it on our own phones. We've conducted several trials, and we're starting with the iPhone, iPad, because that's the technology that we currently have, but we're going to move through the others. We are not just going to limit it to this, but we have to start somewhere for a prototype development. And Dr. Savelle and his team have improved the application based on their trials. And one thing I wanted to mention that has been a customer service that I thought was above and beyond, and that is the pathologist that I showed you in the picture, and then another one of our physicians with the work group, were in town in Atlanta for a conference. And I called Dr. Savelle to see, can they come meet you in person? Can they come see the lab and understand more about what you do? Well, he was so generous, he spent about two hours with them, showing them all the things that he was working on with the development of tools for sharing health information. And I thought it was wonderful. At the end, he said to them, he challenged them, think about these tools that I've shared with you. How can you use them to improve the laboratory and laboratory medicine? He put out that offer. And I've been in research and development most of my career, and I've just been at CDC 8 years, but most of my career before that was in research and development. And what I have found is that it seems that for the most part, most things that are improving science in a big leap are taking two different specialties or two different disciplines and merging them, and they come up with novel ideas. So I want to end, and then after I finish this particular part, I want to share with you the interactive part of the session. But what I thank Dr. Savelle and his team is to help us, we're thanking them to help us to develop this application for smartphones for this one algorithm. And we're hoping that we can broaden it from that. But this is a trial, and we're going to work through this, and hopefully we'll be successful and go beyond this. But I also want to applaud him for reaching out to these expert pathologists and saying that he would be willing to work with them to maybe help with the IT aspect of improving pathology and laboratory medicine. So I applaud him for reaching out to them to do that. So with that, I'm hoping that you can share with us the app and let us go through it. So maybe now. Do
you have any questions first?
Oh, okay. Yes, please. Why don't we do that? Yes, good question, and that's why they're here. No, but that's a question. That's why you're here. You're the IT experts. We have the experts to answer that question. So very good question. I appreciate that. And so that's you've got your answer. Awesome. Okay. Any other?
Any questions online?
Oh, okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, maybe Dr. Savelle, and I'll just turn this off.
It works. So this is on an iPad 2. Yes, it's an iPhone app, but we just happen to be presenting it on an iPad 2 because it's very easy to present on iPads. Okay, there we go. So this is the app live. What's interesting about the app, and we worked with our designer and the developer on this, it has a couple really interesting, I would describe them as home runs. One is that the design of the app, which is native for the iOS platform, meaning it's written in Objective-C with Xcode, is that there's an algorithm framework behind it where it's not hard-coded into one of the classes. There's a section where literally you just say, node, here are the yes-no nodes, and what's the data. So literally, if we said quickly we have a whole new algorithm, we could very quickly just modify and extend the platform. Yes. What? Yes, based on that, exactly. And our ultimate goal is to take it to the next step, which is you'll log into a website and she can go in and add in a new algorithm and it will automatically change the platform. So in a sense, we've built a mini algorithm platform. The second issue has to do with the design of the application itself. And I would just say from our user, our UX perspective, our designer, it takes a lot of thought. There's the famous HIG, the Human Interface Guidelines, about making the iPhone app easy to use. And the reason it became the way it was is we said we know that healthcare providers have zero tolerance for going down an algorithm and then going whoops and then starting all over again. So that was one of the ways that this got designed, was to really be very forgiving. And in time, there's no question this app, whether this gets integrated into an EMR where based on a lab result value will actually help input how you walk down the tree. So I see this as a very clean, first generation, essentially decision support tool for providers at the point of care. That was never our goal, but that's essentially what this is. Go ahead. Okay, so you want to? Please, Brian, be my guest.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
One of the things in this prototype, everything is within the app. Like, we're still talking about extending it so it can actually have a website and give it up for advanced workflow rules processing, which would be the rules or some other rules out there. Right now, the reason why we have a very simple, sort of abstracted out metadata set, which is very small and basically a struct of Objective-C, is so it'll all run within the app. So right now, when you run this application, it's not making any calls out to the lab. But the idea is if it got embedded into an EMR or if it got expanded out, it would make calls from phone home, which would allow physicians or other, basically, analysts to create more advanced rules. And right now, it sort of has design patterns of rules in it, but it doesn't have that because right now, Objective-C just doesn't have a nice built-in.
So what's been really fascinating from our perspective is, in a sense, building this app actually helped refine, from the clinical standpoint, their own algorithms. And that was really insightful because it turns out, of course, with an application, there's no vagueness. You either go down this arm of the tree or the other arm of the tree. So the first thing we realized when they handed us these algorithms is we needed to create a super algorithm that helped you figure out which algorithm to go down. So in fact, if I just restart this, you'll notice it says to begin, describe your patient. So you would say, this is an inpatient, and is this an adult? See, it's saying, describe your patient. And all of a sudden, this is still the this is like the super algorithm. And then once you get, now it changes over to evaluation guide. It said, given what you've described, this is an adult, this is an inpatient, they do have a history of bleeding, now you know which of the six algorithms to walk down, for example. And at that point, then, you start to make your decisions. And as you walk down, it says at step 8, you're done. So at this point, if they say, no, wait a second, that last question was wrong, if they click on the button on the far right, they can now skim through what they answered. And now if they say, no, wait a second, actually they don't really have a history of bleeding on number 4, it takes them right back to that spot, they change their answer, they get the, are you sure you want to do this, and they change their answer, and they can continue on down. So in a sense, it looks incredibly simple. And that's a good thing. But given what I've seen that was done in the back and the thought process that was done and the hours of arguments about whether the buttons should be vertical or horizontal, which is actually a very real issue when it comes to user experience, the use of thumbs, the size of the button, these really are issues. And in a sense, if it's done right, it all seems to go away. You just focus on using the application itself. And there's apps I'm sure you've seen where you're just overwhelmed with, what do I click on this? We said this needs to be very streamlined and very simple. So in a sense, and I'm just sort of down the bottom, I'm hitting the back arrows and the forward arrows. And in a nutshell, we're extremely pleased with the application. It seems very simple. It's been very stable. And I've learned the hard way just how difficult it is when you're focusing on the different versions of what versions of the iPhone they're using. It is truly, even when it seems incredibly simple, it's not. And just even pushing out the application to the pilot group is challenging because you can't use the App Store just when you're piloting. So we are using techniques where we essentially, once we have what's known as the UID, I'm not saying it right. No, the ID on the iPhone, the device UID, then we can essentially email a link and then they automatically can download it. And then so we have a group that will download it, let us know what they think. So with that, at least you get a flavor of the application, and we're looking forward to it in time, whether it will become as part of a suite of of applications that we hope we can provide. So with that, I'll take any questions you have from the application standpoint. It's been a privilege to work with the lab team, and we look forward to working with them on other projects as well. So I'm going to disconnect. No other questions at the moment, right? Are we good? All right. And yes, this is the iPad 2, and we can. You all, at the end, you can take a look and, of course, play with it if you'd like.